Home Healthcare News Editor Bob Holly here, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Disrupt. For this episode, I'm speaking with Kendall at Home CEO Lynn Giacobbe. The CCRC at Home model has been gaining a lot of traction in 2021, and Lynn's going to tell us why. Before diving in, though, a quick word from our sponsor, Homecare Homebase. If you're spending hours and hours each week on complex schedules that change constantly, we've got great news for you. HCHB Smart Scheduling can automate 95% of routine scheduling for you, saving you time, money, and hassle while improving staff utilization and continuity of care. Learn more about how Homecare Homebase can help you make the most out of your staffing resources and empower exceptional patient care. Visit hchb.com today. Now for my conversation with Kendall at Home's Lynn Giacobbe. Joining me now is Lynn Giacobbe, CEO of Kendall at Home. Lynn, how are you doing, and where are we speaking with you from today?
I'm doing great, Bob. Thank you for asking. And I am actually in Annapolis, Maryland at one of my mentor's homes working on a Kendall leadership program today. So it's sort of a treat to be sitting out in nature and enjoying a beautiful fall afternoon.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Well, thanks for carving out some time to join us on the Disrupt podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you are officially our first CCRC Without Walls leader that's been on the podcast. Before we dig into what you're doing at Kendall at Home, I thought a good place to start is just to ask, what is a CCRC Without Walls anyway? Could you kind of describe the model for our listeners here?
Sure, I'd be happy to. You know, some days I'd ask myself that same question, especially early on. I've actually been here for about 18 years. So I think it's been a learning process to really get a handle on what this means. And I think it's really important to understand that CCRC is a continuing care retirement community. And that's really what these programs are retirement communities without walls. So it enables people that would otherwise be looking to move there. And they are the folks that are probably visiting retirement communities all across the country and walk in the door and love what those communities can offer, but just can't pull that trigger and leave their home. They want to stay there. And for whatever reason, they're really drawn and wanting to stay in their own home. And that home can be a home they've lived in for 40 years and raised their family, or it could be a home that they've recently relocated to or downsized to over the years, or a home that they want to be in right now, but not sure about what the future holds. But they want those benefits and that security. So the CCRC Without Walls really offers a lot of the benefits that you might find in a retirement community, but delivers them to people who are living in their own homes and enables them to kind of determine how this program might work for them individually, and probably for every at-home program, not just Kendall's. It enables them to create a path that's really self-determined.
So we've spoken before, and I, you know, through those conversations, learned that Kendall at Home is one of the oldest CCRC Without Walls programs in the nation. Do we know, you know, in 2021, how many CCRC Without Walls operations there are today? Does anybody have that number?
You know, they're actually, as an industry, I would say that the at-home programs are beginning to coalesce, and in great part due to leadership from Leading Age. Katie Sloan and her team have really leaned in with us this year to bring this group together. There has been a group meeting for a long time, but I think we're beginning to really come together as an industry and begin to look at best practices and things like that. But there are about 35 programs at various stages of operations. Some of them have been operating longer than us, and others have been, are really just getting started. Some are operating independently, and others are operating out of continuing care retirement communities, or there's one operating out of a hospital system. So various different models all across the country, probably about 35 or so in operation that we're aware of.
All right. Well, let's talk about Kendall at Home. What's your organization's origin story, so to speak? I think you launched in 2004, correct?
Yep, I actually came to work for Kendall. I came to work for Kendall at Oberlin as the ED of Kendall at Home at the end of 2003, and we launched the program in early 2004. But it really was an initiative based out of one of our retirement communities, Kendall at Oberlin, located in the greater Cleveland area in Ohio, and their desire to really serve people that didn't want to move to the community, that were really wanting to remain in their homes, but had a strong connection to Kendall. And so it enabled us to develop this model. And we operated really from the very beginning as a separate entity. And we weren't even located on the same site as the retirement community. We were in Cuyahoga County, just west of Cleveland, and began our operations there. And in those early days, many of our members came from that Oberlin area because of their affinity with Kendall and Kendall at Oberlin. Some of them were people that really helped to bring Kendall at Oberlin to fruition, but really hadn't made that decision to leave their home. So they joined Kendall at Home. And some of those people today are living at Kendall at Oberlin, but are still members of Kendall at Home. And so there's, you know, we have an ability to work together to really serve those people in the way that they've chosen. But we started out and for many years operated as a part of Kendall Northern Ohio then, as a Kendall affiliate. But in 2016, we separated from Kendall at Oberlin as a Kendall affiliate, became an independent affiliate of the Kendall system. And that really was out of a system review process that identified a desire to grow the at-home program in the Kendall system. And in order to do that, we were encouraged to really grow up and stand on our own 2 feet and eliminate a lot of the shared services that we had at that time. So since then, we have really developed an independent entity managing, you know, independently like any other affiliate in the Kendall system, but still serving that greater Cleveland area. But now we've grown substantially across the state and really are in multiple states now.
So I think last time we spoke, it was because you had just taken the Kendall at Home model and expanded into Massachusetts. What does your overall footprint look like today?
Yeah. So when we last spoke, Bob, I think we were just launching in partnership with our Lathrop communities in the Western Massachusetts area. And that affiliate is a little unique in that it has a lot of independent living setting, but no assisted living, memory care, or nursing home beds, as most of our retirement communities in the Kendall system have. So it's really just two independent living campuses. And so the CEO at the time brought us in partnership to serve residents who really were looking for that life care component and wanted some of that financial security and really the security of knowing they have a plan and a care coordinator working closely with them. Since then, we've now expanded across the state of Massachusetts and are centrally located. We have a team in the Boston market and the program is really growing much more quickly even in that area as well. So we're serving all of Massachusetts and we've expanded across the state of Ohio and now into Northern Kentucky as well.
I know that these types of questions are often really, really difficult to answer because there's no such thing as the typical patient or the typical mm-hmm. client or the typical member. But what does the typical Kendall at Home member look like in 2021? And does that person look any different than, you know, say 5 or 6 years ago?
You know, I think that there's probably not a lot of difference between those people who came in early on. Although I would say that the people that joined Kendall at Home in those early days, you know, there was an element of bravery. They are what we refer to as our pioneers. They were really willing to take a chance on not just a new program, but a whole new initiative. You know, when we started 18 years ago, no one had a clue what this program was about, including us. And we were learning as we were evolving. And, you know, we worked closely with another at-home program and really modeled after them. But, you know, there were unique characteristics about this program. And we had to learn along the way how to develop and evolve this program. So I'd say that was one characteristic of those early members was they had a great deal of faith in Kendall and a great deal of faith in us. And I'd say in those early years, it was something that kept me involved in this program was the faith that people put in us. I can still remember the first two members, Doug and Shirley, as we were sitting across the table from them, fingers crossed that they would join that day. And they said, "So how many members do you have?" And, you know, I looked across the table and I said, "Well, hopefully by the end of the day, we'll have two." And, you know, I think about the courage that took for them to become those first members. So today, you know, just recently we signed our 500th member in the program. So I know that, you know, there's an element of security as we've grown and you look across the table, there are many others who have done this. But I would say by and large, the people that join this program are people that, you know, are really involved in their communities, that are looking ahead, that are planners, that maybe have experienced long-term care of a loved one and know what a treacherous journey that can be, and also understand the financial implications that providing care for a loved one can do to a family, what that hardship might look like. And they're looking for opportunities. It is interesting, probably about 40% of our members have long-term care insurance, and you'd think, well, why would they join? They already have a plan. But they understand that long-term care insurance certainly has its benefits and advantages in terms of what it offers. But they're really looking for that person who's going to navigate their long-term care services as they need them, that's going to be there to oversee things, to make sure that care is being delivered when and if it's needed. And most importantly, I think today our focus is on wellness. And, our members aren't joining because they want to know they're going to go to a good nursing home down the road. They're joining because they want to stay independent and healthy and remain in their home for as long as possible. And I'd say that, we're really proud to say that very few of our members ever go into a nursing home on a permanent basis. Many go in for rehab stays and that type of thing. But for the most part, they aren't going into nursing homes permanently. We see assisted living utilization and memory care where our members have significant cognitive impairment and live alone, and it's become dangerous or unsafe for them to remain in the home setting. But the majority of our members, no matter what level of care they're needing, are remaining at home and are provided with the services and the care that they need in order to do so. And it isn't our decision. That's probably one thing people ask me more than anything. When will you decide I'm going to move to a nursing home? And I don't ever decide that for families. We'll make recommendations, and our care coordinators will walk alongside the family, but they're making those decisions, the member themselves or the person they've designated to make those decisions for them. So it's very a very personal plan, and that plan evolves as our lives evolve and circumstances change. I have people who join this program when both they and their partner were living in the home and a partner dies, and the surviving partner decides, that maybe living in this home on all this property and all the maintenance isn't what I want to do today. And they make a decision to relocate. And it's one of the benefits that, they can move anywhere they want to within the United States, and Kendall at Home goes with them. So I think today we're serving members in about 14 states. It has been very successful. We've been able to do that without any disruption to services for our clients that are in the program.
And to just clarify for our listeners, because you explained what the Kendall at Home footprint looks like, but mm-hmm. you're not just bound to those states, to Ohio, to Massachusetts, to Northern Kentucky. If I'm living in Ohio and I'm a Kendall at Home member and I move to Arizona, you'll follow me along that journey.
Absolutely. We do that. And, we do that whether you're moving permanently. And, as with any northern state, many of our members are, they spend winters in warmer climates, and we just evolve the care needs. We provide those services wherever they go. So absolutely. And I think if we've learned anything through this pandemic, the virtual world that so many of us are living in today has enabled us to even have a stronger connection. And where our clients maybe were a little bit more resistant to technology, so many are embracing that now as a way to stay connected. So it's enabled us to have even stronger connections with our members who live in remote areas and aren't here in the greater Cleveland area or in Massachusetts, but are, traveling or living in other areas. We're able to see them and work really closely with them, as well as our providers.
And I want to dig a little bit deeper into the services aspect of Kendall at Home. Let's say I'm a member and I decide that Kendall at Home is right for me. What specific things, what specific services could I expect? And let's say that I'm relatively healthy now, but maybe my needs change over time as I kind of age into Kendall at Home. Along these lines too, I'm wondering if you're facilitating home health and home care. Are those resources all in-house, or are you partnering with, home health agencies and home care agencies in those given communities?
That's exactly what we do. I look at, I'd say one of the greatest benefits that members would say, we do annual satisfaction surveys, and members, identify what they value most. And, by and large, it's that relationship with the care coordinator. And you think about that, that care coordinator. We have a pretty multidisciplinary team. We have occupational therapists, nurses, gerontologists. We have a geriatric physician who serves as our medical director. But that team of specialists and multidisciplinary team is really, the key to helping members stay independent and healthy. So lots of initiatives around wellness, falls prevention. We've recently brought in an organization that has a very specific personal training program designed to help prevent falls and strengthen balance and those types of things. So we have a lot of programming around wellness and promoting that health and independence. And so many of our members are engaged in that, but they're working really closely with that care coordinator in achieving their personal goals. So that's our first focus, is really helping them to overcome obstacles and achieve the goals that they have individually as they age. And then as they need care, that care coordinator, who's really gotten to know them while they're healthy and independent, often knows their families, is working really closely with them to identify as services become necessary. And it can be for a short term or it can be permanently, that they're working sort of as that general contractor to bring all the services together. And, you know, we have a list of services and they include, you know, that companion care, home care, if someone needs assisted living or nursing home care, there's some transportation services involved. But all of those services, you know, are the things that Kendall at Home coordinates, provides, and pays for. But over the years, what I've learned is, you know, and I learned this, that same couple, Doug and Shirley, that I sat across the table from 18 years ago, who said to me, how many members are in this program, also said to me, when Doug died, Shirley said, I think I'm going to have to withdraw now because I can't stay in my home anymore. I can't maintain my home. Doug did those things and I can't do them anymore. And I realized as I interacted with our members that if they couldn't care for themselves on a daily basis, they also couldn't care for their home and they couldn't take care of the snow plowing and the grass and the bill paying and all of those things that are part of remaining in your home. And so we began to bring together all of those ancillary services that someone might need in order to stay at home. So we have bill paying services that are offered on an as-needed basis, and they're paid for by the member. They're not included in the benefits, but they're certainly a really important part of that. We've built, in partnership with a facility management company, we've built a home maintenance division so that our members have, as a part of their benefits in the program, an annual assessment of their home. In addition to their own well-being, we're also assessing their home and identifying any outlying issues that need to be addressed. And if they want to use our company to implement any changes in their home. So installing grab bars or making home modifications that might enable them to stay at home and be safer, then they can do that as well. So we're paying for those assessments. We don't cover the cost of home modifications, but we are assuring members that we have trusted and vetted providers who are doing that work. And our home maintenance company, as well as most of our care coordination team, are CLIP certified, which is certified living in place professionals. And they've gone through specialized training and really understand and know, the importance of these home modifications and how to integrate them into someone's home in ways that enable them to maintain their independence at home. So all of those things are things that, you know, that we've learned over the years that are so important to enabling and empowering someone to be able to remain in their home safely. So we bring all of those service providers together and, you know, things like skilled home health services, therapy, hospice services, palliative care. Those are things that are covered under the Medicare benefits that our members have, but they're also services that we coordinate in conjunction with our members, with their physicians or their surgeons. If someone's recommending that someone have therapy or they're being discharged from a hospital setting, we're working with discharge planners to put all of the pieces in place to make sure that they'll have what they need. And it can be really intensive care that's offered, you know, when someone first has a crisis situation and then, you know, diminishing the level of care as they become more independent. Or it can be a permanent arrangement of care depending on the member's needs.
I know this obviously depends on the services that I need as the member, but could you walk me through the fee structure? If I'm, you know, your quote unquote standard kind of member and needs the baseline package, so to speak,
yes.
What kind of costs am I looking at?
So the costs really depend upon a number of factors, and age is one of them. The older someone is coming into the program, the higher the cost would be. And then the daily benefit amount that someone's choosing when they come into the program is also a critical factor in determining the cost. So, someone coming into the program at 75, maybe is, looking for, about a $250 daily benefit, that's covering the average daily cost of nursing home care on a national average. But when you look at Massachusetts, that nursing home rate is almost double. So people living in areas where there's a higher cost for care are probably going to choose a higher daily benefit amount. So they can pay anywhere from $60,000 to $75,000 to $80,000, depending upon what their daily benefit amount is that they're selecting, their age when they're coming in. And then those two factors are what's determining, what their entry fee and their monthly fee will be when they come in. And then the monthly fees are varied depending upon the daily benefit amount as well. So whichever plan they're selecting is going to really drive what the monthly fees can be as they come into the program. So they can be, $500 or $600 up to about $1,000 a month, depending upon the daily benefit amount. So people that want, $450 a day in daily benefit, they're going to pay a higher entry fee and a higher monthly fee, as opposed to someone who's choosing that, $250 a day daily benefit. And then it's really important to know that as a person is aging in this program, that monthly fee may increase, and our average is right around 3 to 4% annually, but the daily benefit is increasing as well. And so this year, for example, with the pandemic, we've seen some significant increases in the cost of care. And so that daily benefit is being increased for members that have been in the program for, a long time. They annually not only incur the increase in that monthly fee, but they'll also see an increase in their daily benefit amount. So it's something that, our goal is to keep pace with the cost of care for our members so that they're not losing anything as the cost of care continues to rise in our country.
You mentioned cost of care increasing. Mm-hmm. 2020 and 2021 were obviously and continue to be incredibly unique and challenging years for all aging services providers. Beyond cost of care, how else has Kendall at Home been affected by the public health emergency?
Hard to think that, everyone hasn't been impacted significantly by this pandemic. And, early on, part of it was really just looking at a health and safety factor. How do we provide services? How do we assure members that, their care will be delivered in the safest manner possible? And for those members that were healthy and independent, how do we help them to stay safe? And, they didn't want to go to grocery stores and they didn't want to go out and, be in the community and be at risk. And it is interesting because, I'd say that many of us might say, well, I don't need to worry about my care. My children are going to be here to help me. And so many of our members, they didn't want to expose their children or their grandchildren or vice versa. So there was a level of isolation that I think we hadn't encountered in the past. And so there were a number of factors. How do we make sure that all of their basic necessities are being provided for in a safe manner? And how do we make sure that we're staying connected and that they're not totally isolated at home? So integrating technology early on became a critical factor and has become ever more present in our work. And I think that's a great thing as we look at how we can integrate technology in order to keep people connected and provide valuable resources to folks. And that's been an important factor. But helping get, our care coordinators were out picking up Instacart orders and delivering them on porch steps and, making sure that members had their medications and all of those things that, became overwhelming in the beginning, I think. There's no doubt about it. But once we got systems in place and, delivery services in place and those kinds of things, we could make sure that every member had the bare necessities they needed and that groceries and medications and all of those kinds of things were being provided and, that they had what they needed and that we had PPE to make sure that when caregivers were going in, that they had the resources because not all of our home care agencies had the resources they needed. So I would say that's one thing that, being a part of the Kendall system, we had the benefit of accessing those resources pretty early on and assuring that we could provide those things. But I think in the end, what it feels like to me is that we've grown closer as a community, that our members, no matter where they're located, have been able to be connected with one another. And although many of the restrictions we dealt with early on have been lifted and people are returning back to somewhat of a normal world again, whatever that is, right? However we define normal, that they are staying connected in ways that we hadn't seen in the past. And, you know, whether that's through programming, you know, virtual exercise programs or coffee hours that we began implementing early on, all of those kinds of things are things that are continuing on today and that will become just a normal part of what we do and how we operate going forward. I think there were many lessons learned and some of them are really important ones that we'll continue to integrate into our work going forward.
COVID-19 has, of course, accelerated the shift of care into the home. With that in mind, where do you expect Kendall at Home to be looking ahead in the next 12 months, the next 24 months? And then kind of as a follow-up to that, where do you expect the CCRC Without Walls concept to be broadly in a year or 2 years?
I would say that, you know, COVID-19 has impacted a lot of changes for all of us, you know, all across this country and across the world. For us, I think that, you know, we have found that there's an even stronger desire for people to remain at home and to be assured that the services they'll need will be delivered to them in their home. You know, the idea of congregate living in a lot of ways is something that people are really grappling with. And so while it's certainly important, and there's an argument on both sides of this, others may feel that the isolation they've experienced during this pandemic led them to want to explore congregate living, you know, as a result. But I think by and large, we're seeing more and more people who are really looking at this alternative and wanting to remain at home and wanting to know that they have someone that's there advocating for them and really providing the services that they need as they need them and bringing that to the table when it's critically needed. Where we go from here, I think, you know, as I look ahead, you know, a year or 5 years from now, I'd really like to look at ways that we can evolve this model to be able to serve others in the way that we're serving members today. Certainly, just like a CCRC, the at-home programs appeal to a market of people that can afford this product. And those entry fees and monthly fees are not attainable for everyone. But the lessons that we're learning and the benefits that we can provide are things that so many who are aging at home can benefit from. I look at our PACE programs and what they're able to do in order to help people stay at home today. I think somewhere in the middle of that, there are lessons learned and programs evolving today that will enable us to take some of the lessons learned in the at-home programs and evolve this product to be able to serve others. You know, people have to qualify medically as well as financially into the at-home program today. But we do have a component of this program that serves people who wouldn't otherwise qualify, sometimes medically and sometimes financially. And it's a model that we're evolving to be able to serve people. You know, as a nonprofit mission-based organization, to say to someone who has emerging healthcare needs, "I'm sorry you don't qualify," and to walk away just didn't feel right from the start. And so we developed a model of the program that serves those individuals from the very beginning with minimal entry fees and monthly fees. It doesn't offer the life care component, but it does offer them a package of services that is very similar to what members have. It's just on a fee-for-service basis. So I think, you know, as we look ahead, it's how do we evolve and grow this program to be able to serve more older adults who want to be able to remain in their home and to do it in a way that, you know, preserves dignity and enables them to achieve their own personal goals.
Well, I've been speaking with Lynn Giacobbe, CEO of Kendall at Home. Lynn, we are about out of time. Is there anything else that you'd like to leave our listeners here with today?
No, Bob, I'd just like to say thank you for talking about continuing care at home and I think the important place that it plays in today's long-term care setting. And I appreciate you recognizing that and inviting us in to talk more about that. And I look forward to talking more with you as we continue to address aging services needs in our country.
Well, thank you all for listening. And Lynn, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com or consider becoming an HHCN Plus member. I'm Bob Holly, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network, Chicago, Illinois.